Now, there are a lot of things we love, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to do this. I put a list of things that I love in my notes. I said, you know, I love my wife, I love my children, you know, I love my church, you know, I love barbecue sauce. You know, barbecue sauce actually goes with everything. Does anybody else agree with that? Anytime we're having a meal, where's the barbecue sauce? We got to have that, different flavors. You know, I love reading. You know, I love fishing with Don Thompson when we catch something. It's really good. All right, but I want you to take a few moments, and I want you to turn to your neighbor for about 30 seconds and just share a list of things that you love, all right? So go ahead and take your 30 seconds and share with somebody a few things that you love. Got about 10 more seconds. All righty, that'll kind of conclude your list. Did anybody get any brownie points by leaning over and just go, I love you? A few husbands got that in. I always look for the single guys to run over to another young lady and see if, you know, maybe, you know, I just want to give you a list of things I love. Well, if I gave you the rest of the afternoon, I guarantee if you really were thoughtful and prayerful, you could probably come up with a list of over 100 things, 100 people, 100, you know, just circumstances, 100 different things that you absolutely love. Now, how many of you, when you turned to your neighbor, in your list, you said, I love Sundays? Had a few. So that's not typically in our vocabulary, but at least for the month, I want us to start thinking, do we really love Sundays? Is this a day we look forward to? Is this a day that you know, when we look backwards, we go, man, that was, I mean, like last Sunday, did you enjoy last Sunday? I mean, God was just all over the place and working in lives. We had baptism and just the spirit of the place, and over 320 people were on our campus last Sunday. And I'm praying that God will continue to do that, and not just for an Easter thing. Let's see lives changed. More people baptized in the grace of Christ and participating in the life of the church. Because we are the church. It's not the building. It's all about God's work in the lives of people together, that we might stir one another up towards love and good deeds. Today, I want us to just continue thinking, what is the difference in our lives when we really do love Sundays? When we love God and we love participating in the life of the church, what does that look like for us? Unfortunately, there is so much in our lives that are just hectic. You know, it's been since the beginning of time that God established with the Israelites the concept of the Sabbath. God had worked for 6 days creating, which is always fascinating to me. He could have done it in 6 seconds. He could have just done it with 1 second. But he chose 6 specific days to create. But then on the 7th day, he didn't take a nap. He just ceased from creating, setting up a style or a model for us that say, work and then rest. Pause. Work hard, be diligent, be very strategic in what I've created you to do, but you must, your body was created to rest. 1 in 7. In the New Testament, when Jesus was challenged with this, Jesus had taken his disciples and they were going through a field and they had picked some of the grain off. And the Pharisees, and I'm always wondering, why are Pharisees sitting in the grain field? But regardless. All right, so they pick some grain off and they start challenging and debating Jesus. Look, is it lawful to do this? And by the way, it was lawful Monday or Sunday through Friday for them to be able to pick from anybody's grain when they're walking through. It's traveling. That was lawful. But the question was, is it lawful to do this on the Sabbath, on our holy day, where they had established so many rules about what you could and could not do? You know, so they were going, Jesus, is it right for your disciples to do this? And he said one of the most profound, you know, awe-inspiring thoughts, even for us, I think, today, is God did not make, well, hold on, let me make sure I get it right. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for benefit. And you notice he says made for man. He didn't say for Israelites. He didn't say, you know, for certain people. He says it was made for mankind. The Sabbath was made for mankind. not man for the Sabbath. And what he's challenging them and saying to them is that of all of the days of the week, God knew we would need a break from everything else to refuel, to refresh, and refocus on him. When God created the world, he designed it that way, worked, and then ceased from working. And he says, listen, you guys are so focused on rules, how many steps you can take, and how many, even in Israel, by the way, today, if you were to go to Israel, if you were to get in go into a hotel, I heard this from somebody recently that was in a hotel, you cannot push the buttons on Saturday. Has anybody been to Israel and experienced this? All right, you can't push the buttons. The buttons are, it's automatically going to stop on every floor because it would be work to pull your finger out and push the button. Now, on Monday, everybody has to push the button to the floor they're going to go to, but on Saturday, no, because it's work. And those are just kind of the legalistic add-ons that the Pharisees years ago would just add on and add on. You can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do this. All right, so Jesus says, look, Sabbath was made for you to rest and refocus on God, not about all these rules. Unfortunately, we still get caught into these rules rather than the relationship and the refocusing on him that he's made us for. People live a hectic lives, 2016, never stopping culture. 24/7, we're attached to a device, worried about deadlines, checking to-do lists, never feeling like we're ever going to make enough, to do enough, or have enough. Day in and day out, most people live with never-ceasing pressures. Set the clock back a few generations. Businesses used to be closed on Sunday. Anybody remember those days? Only works of necessity. Consider a time when nobody worked and people didn't travel all day Sunday just to be a part of a sports league, or people used the day for rest, to worship God, to spend time with family, to just recharge themselves for the week. Prior generations may have gotten a lot less done on Sundays. It may sound a little old-fashioned, but doesn't something cry out to you in your soul? Maybe old-fashioned isn't so bad. That if we just had some time to rest and refocus and make Sundays the best day of our week, a day that we could be eagerly anticipating the week and energized for what God calls us to do. You know, athletes understand this concept of stress and release. To stress and release. You work hard, 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 you have the game, and then you take Monday off because your body needs to refuel. They perform better when they get rest after the practice and games, and they've given their all. They take a non-stop workouts for a season, but then they allow their muscles to rest. That's what they were designed for. I think we were designed the same way spiritually. Not to rest from spiritual activity, but to pause from all the other activity. In the Old Testament, there's a great example of this, of the Israelites. They had pressed forward for 40 years, about to go into the promised land. And Joshua 1:8, I want you to look at this verse up on the screen. So God gets a hold of Joshua, speaking to him, Moses, my servant is dead, you're leading them now, and you're about to go into my promised land, that which I've given you, all right? This is what you've been looking forward to for 40 years since you left slavery in Egypt. Now, I've brought you to where you need to be, but there's going to be a lot of battles there, there's going to be a lot of blessings there, but it's going to be busy when you get there. So before you enter into the busy new land, I want you to pause and listen to my words. He says this to him, this book, the very words of the law, the first five books of the Old Testament is what he's speaking of, the Torah, the Pentateuch. The book of this law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, this is an if-then statement, if you'll do these three things, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You notice he's going to say, basically saying, you're going to get so distracted and so busy and think we got to make more progress, we got to defeat that new territory, we've got to take over that land, and every day you're going to have this driving effect. We got to do more, got to be more, got to have more. But if you depart from the pausing of focusing on what really matters, my word in a relationship with me, you'll fail. Or the opposite, if you'll do these things, you're going to have your success. You're going to accomplish all that I want you to, but you better pause and meditate and focus on the things that I've got for you. I mean, the three things he says there, it better be on your mouth. You better be talking about it. You better be thinking about it. It's the meditation of your mind and heart. You better be thinking about it, and you better be doing what it says. Pull back. Talk about it, think about it, and then when you enter in, you're going to do what I've told you to do. If you run every day without God's game plan, you will ultimately fail. You'll have your prosperous times, and you'll have your success, but not without me. I think that's why Chick-fil-A has taken that principle. Most successful fast food chain in all of America, and they take a day off to have their people have some rest and a time for worship. This has proven true throughout all the generations. You know, in the 1700s, John and Charles Wesley had this commitment of pausing, having people gather for weekly Bible studies and worship. They had, as a result of the movement, they had over 100,000 weekly Bible studies by 1798. And for the next 100 years, England, where they were residing, England was the most prosperous nation in the world. When people paused, they focused on God, God blessed their people. In 1857, Jeremiah Lamphere started a noontime prayer meeting in the Dutch Reformed Church in downtown New York City. The prayer meeting sparked a movement of prayer and Bible reading throughout the United States. They would pause to focus on God. As a result, the history of America's westward expansion was marked by households that would gather at the dinner table every evening as the father would read the scriptures for an hour to his family. You think that changed households? Absolutely. They sat around their kitchen table as they heard God's word. Stress throughout the day of engagement and pause to relax and understand who God is. Once that Bible reading was ingrained in the families, over the next 100 years, the U.S. became one of the most prosperous nations in the world. See, we get our priorities mixed up when we think we want the gift and we hope God's behind it rather than just wanting God and then let him take care of the rest. Do you seek him, his kingdom and his righteousness first and allow God to take care of the rest? I think that's why Sunday is the first day of the week. Why God established the rising of the Son of God on the first day of the week. Our priority is him and everything else follows. If Sunday is the best day of the week, I am absolutely convinced by scripture that if you'll make Sunday the best day of your week, everything else will be some of the greatest days of your life. People today say we're too busy to read the Bible. We're too busy to attend worship. We've got to work more hours. We've got to get ahead. But God says, if you would just pause and focus on me, I'll provide for you everything that you need. You realize that God put into our calendars. Well, by the way, so there are some people out today, you know, because it's spring break in DeKalb County, spring break in Gwinnett County, and people have taken off to the beach. I'm not bitter about that at all. I think it's nice that people can get away. You know, I got to go to Guatemala. It was 104 degrees, and I didn't see any beach. But people get away. Do you enjoy getting away when you're able to? I want you to just consider this. Some people say, oh, I haven't had a vacation in years. Do you realize that God gave you 7.5 weeks of spiritual vacation every year? 52 Sundays a year is a time to say, stop, cease from working, and just focus and rest. How many of you would love a 7.5 week vacation? God's given it to you. And you know what we do with the get vacation, the rest that he gives us, we typically go, no, I'd rather work. I'd rather catch up on my homework. Oh, no, I've got this work project that I've got to do. Oh, I've got to run some errands and do this, this, and this. And it's catch up. Rather than ultimately enjoying Sundays and enjoying the gift he's given us, what we do is say, no, I'm just too busy. God says, I've given you a beautiful gift, 52 days just to do nothing but rest in me. Enjoy those around you. Be filled with my spirit and renew your mind in me so you have a better perspective, more energy to do what I've called you to do. We waste the very gifts that God gives us. So when I say I love Sundays, it's because it's one of the greatest gifts God's ever given us. And he gives it to us weekly. So today's message in brief, good Sundays make better Mondays. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 58. We're going to look at just two verses, 13 and 14. In the Pew Bible, if you don't have a Bible with you, of course I'll have some on the screen, but you can grab one of the Pew Bibles and turn to page 618. Just read the passage here, and then I'll point out two observations in this text for us. First it says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, and this is an if-then proposal, just like in the book of Joshua. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, that's what you're calling it. If you honor it, not going your own ways and seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, if you'll do this, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let me just show you a few things in this text. The first thing I want you to write down if you're taking notes from the program is this. You should make Sundays the best day of your week. If you'll notice in verse 13, the three conditional statements, it says, if you'll turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. If you'll turn away all these other things and focus back on me, from your own focus to the focus on me, if you'll do this. And then he says, if you will call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, and then if you'll honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly. And I consider this. I saw this in the text. I'm like, it's kind of like what he said to Joshua. He says, if you'll do the right thing, if you'll talk about the right thing, you know, he says, if you'll call this, if your mouth is speaking the right things, and if you'll think about the right things, it says if you'll honor it, because an honoring is a condition of the heart and the mind, what you think about something. We can go through emotions without honoring something. So it has to be affecting your mind and heart what you're doing here. Are you thinking rightly? Are you honoring it? Not going your own ways, not doing these things, not thinking or seeking your own pleasure or just talking idly. Are you thinking about it? Are you talking about it? Are you doing it? Is your heart in the right position to seek the Lord? Now, I know there's great debate. I just want to pause just for a theological moment here. There's great debate on what the Sabbath is compared to what the Lord's Day is. And I don't have enough time to expand that today. I do not believe that the Lord has abolished the concept necessarily for the Jews on the Sabbath. But I don't believe necessarily the Lord's Day is the Sabbath, like he just shifted days. So there's a whole theological perspective there. I just want you to consider that I believe the concept, though, of rest is universal. That God's intention for his people to pause is a universal principle. I'll share a quote later by John Calvin that I think helps understand some of that. But I do believe that if we're not pausing and focusing on God on a day of the week that he set aside, then we're cutting the lifeline of God into our lives. We're cutting the energy and the flow of his work in and through our lives. You know, Isaiah was written some thousand years, just short of a thousand years after the Ten Commandments. And I want to show you just a couple of thoughts here. In Exodus, where he lists the first time the Ten Commandments are listed, you know the concept here, where it says in Exodus 20, verse 8, remember, and I have that underlined intentionally, and I'll explain it in a moment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We understand the Ten Commandments. We understand the fourth one is to set aside that special day. The Sabbath ultimately was the seventh day of rest for the Jewish people. Remember, and I want you to listen to the words of the remainder of that passage. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but on the seventh day it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servants or your female servants or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. He says, listen, remember the Sabbath. It is so essential that you pause from your daily working to focus again on me and resting. Universal principle, I believe. He repeats the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. All right, now look at this. Different word. I've underlined it here for us. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Listen to the remainder of that passage. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest with you as well. And then he says, and I love this addition here, he says, you shall remember, this is the day that you're observing, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The reason why there's some controversy with are we to observe the Sabbath day, because some people say that's the Old Testament, therefore we don't have to oblige to all of the rules of the Old Testament. And so some Christians truly believe we don't need to practice the Sabbath. Any day is the Sabbath, every day is the Sabbath, so we'll just live every day like we want to. And then they burn themselves out because they never really pause to take that needed rest that God developed us for. But here you notice what he says to do. He says to remember and to observe. He says, remember and observe. Remember that you were a slave. For us, we weren't slaves in Egypt. But for believers in Jesus Christ, you have come to the realization that you were a slave to sin. And if God had not stretched his mighty arm out and snatched you from the hands of Satan and the sinful life that you were in, you would have no hope. But he snatched you out of it, giving you life. So when we come for worship on Sunday, what are we doing when we do the Lord's Supper? Thank you, Lord. I was a slave to sin, but you rescued me, made me free from that, and now I can live for you by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, God. Sunday's my favorite day of the week because you remind me that you are the mighty God who rescued me, and there was no hope without you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People say, well, I don't know. I can maybe work, you know, and make it to church maybe twice a month. I'm thinking, why would you cut off the very oxygen of your spiritual life? Oh yeah, it's okay, I'm on a spiritual diet. I'm just going to eat three, maybe two times a month. What? You know, daily we're taking in God by reading his word. Yes, every moment we've got the Spirit of God in us, but you know what? God developed a day that you would pause and gather with other believers and that together we would celebrate him and just be a little microcosm of what he's going to do with us in heaven. Mention these two words again. I want you to, you notice the verb change. Remember and observe. Remember was zokar. I'm not very good at Hebrew. And in Deuteronomy it said observe, which is shamar, which can be translated two different ways. It can be observe or to watch for. Very interesting. To remember is to look backwards of what God has done. And observe is to look forward for what he is going to do. You know, every week you have the privilege of remembering and observing. It's not just participation of, but it's remembering what God has done. Remember what he did last week. Remember what he did in your life last year. Remember what he did at the creation of time and through the cross of Christ. You look back and you have a heart that just grows in love. But then he says, now, for the Sabbath, you're also going to watch for, you're going to look for, you're going to be excited about, you're going to anticipate, what's he going to do next? I'm looking forward to next Sunday because he's going to work in my life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I get to gather with the other believers and know that he's done something in and through me and through you. And we get to hear the testimonies of God's grace, like through Danielle and others. Do you look back thankful? And do you look forward with anticipation? If your Sunday is not exciting, it's because you're not looking back and remembering well, and you're certainly not looking forward to what God is going to do. I think that's why he had a verb change there. Moses, through his writing, what God had told him, he's telling the people, you've got to remember where you came from, and you got to know where you're going. That's what makes worship and Sunday exciting. Get real practical for a moment. How can you look forward to and prepare for each Sunday? Kind of made the joke last week about how people fight for bathroom time on a Sunday morning. They, you know, run around trying to grab something they can eat before they get in the car. Everybody's screaming and yelling and pushing, shoving, and yelling at each other. And then they get to the church parking lot, and then the aura of God comes over the entire car, and you step out with a smile and a praise Jesus on your lips. But what if we prepared for Sunday like we prepared for our wedding, and not like it was a dentist appointment? Let's just sit in for a moment. Some of you love the dentist. We love Raymond Johnson. Can I just say that? We love Raymond. But some of you, I know what you're like. You're like, oh, I got to go to the dentist today. Where's that floss? I saw it last year when I went. All right, because you're like, oh, maybe I can cancel that appointment because you're not really looking forward to it because he's going to expose some stuff to you. And you look forward to worship like it's a dentist appointment. But what was it like on your wedding day? Did any of you prepare for that day? Did any of you get excited and maybe a little nervous, but you make sure you had the right clothes, you had time to get dressed, you gathered your friends, you were going to make sure it was the greatest time of your life. What if we prepared for Sunday like that? And on Saturday night, we gathered the family. Instead of going out till midnight and just having a great time at the movies, we actually gathered together. Maybe we prayed. We set out our clothes. We make sure we had all the socks and shoes for the kids out. So Sunday mornings, that's a rush. We had everything ready. So when we woke up, we were more peaceful. We were ready because this day was set aside for us, and we wanted to make sure we didn't miss anything. What if Sunday was a day we really looked forward to and prepared for, and on Sunday morning, we couldn't wait to get here? So many of our families are missing that very thought. These if conditions in this verse 13 are connected to a promise in verse 14. So the second point, if we'll make Sunday the best day of our week, I believe this verse promises that God will make the week the best days of our lives. Look at verse 14. Then, you know, all these, if you'll do this, and if you'll do this, and if you'll do this, I believe the principle for us is this. Then you shall take delight in the Lord. Because that's who we've prepared for. We want to gather with the believers so that we can worship and take delight in God. And I will make you, notice what he does. If you'll take delight in the Lord, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you'll focus on me, I'll take care of the rest. When we set aside the Lord's Day, a day to talk about and to think about and to do what he commands, we set aside a day to rest and relate with him and relate with his body, the people of God, then he will bless our days, making them and us greater than we could ever have imagined. You see, all of Isaiah 58 was written as a rebuke of the people. If you read the entire chapter, which we didn't get a chance to do today, but if you read the entire chapter, it's really a rebuke. You're not experiencing all that I have for you because you're really ignoring me. You're thinking that you can do this work without me. You're not pausing to worship me because you think you are enough. Listen, we were never designed to take care of all things. We were designed to worship him so that he would show his power working in and through us. Up on the screen, I want to put John Calvin's quote. John Calvin, a theologian of another generation, says this: "Now, although that ceremony has been abolished," a ceremony, the Old Testament laws and rules of the Sabbath, "all of that has been abolished. In Christ we have our rest. In Christ we have all things that we need." All right, but although the ceremony has been abolished, nevertheless, the truth of the Sabbath, the rest in Him, to focus on Him, remains. Because Christ died and rose again so that we would have a continual Sabbath. That is, we are released from our works that the Spirit of God may work mightily in us. Sunday is a day to be reminded that all that you have in front of you this week, all the pressures of your life, all the struggles, all the challenges, it is beyond what you can accomplish. But if you'll just rest in Him, His Spirit will work in you in all of those things. Is anybody ready to rest in God? Is anybody ready to really see what God would do if we would totally just lay our lives at His feet and just say, "You have to fill us"? Because it's not about what we can do, it's about what You can do through us, and we just want to rest and refocus in You. Let me encourage you to set aside the next few Sundays to focus on Him, to sit down with those in your household and develop a plan, a strategy to prepare for next Sunday and the next few Sundays. And this week, I want you to remember what God did in you last Sunday and be watchful, anticipate what He'll do this Sunday. Father, thank You for Your grace to us. Thank You that You do give us 7.5 weeks a year to truly set aside some time so that we would gather with other believers and be reminded of what You've done in our lives throughout history and what You're going to do in the future. Father, I pray that we would truly learn to rest in the risen Savior and see the work that He would do by His Spirit in us. Father, some of the best things that these people can do this afternoon is pray and take a nap, because they just have been running so hard. Father, may they truly feel Your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.